Tonight on 360 North at 8, the Juneau World Affairs Council presents Viking Economics, How the Scandinavians Got It Right and How We Can Too, with Martin Luther King Jr. Peace Award winner George Lakey. At 9, schools in North Carolina and Jerusalem use compassion and high expectations to turn around the lives of children at high risk and without perfect answers. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Hello. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but welcome to a Juneau afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. We got a busy day today, and it's a madhouse down here and near the KTOO studios where Public Market is going on, and we're going to profile some of the vendors for Public Market. Also going to be talking to pianist Kyle Farley Robinson. Robinson is here to preview his solo piano recital on November 27th at the Northern Lights Church. We're going to find out about the Coast Guard Coat and Blanket Drive with guest Kevin Dugan. And Nancy DeCherney will be here to give us a rundown of the arts activities happening in town this weekend. That's all coming up, plus Bird Note and Prairie Home, or I'm sorry, Writer's Almanac. Lots more coming up right after National Native News.
In for Antonio Gonzalez. As many as 300 people staged a demonstration against the Dakota Access Pipeline in Mandan, North Dakota, Thursday. At least two people were arrested. That was one of several actions near the pipeline construction site. A group of about 400 people built a makeshift bridge over a body of water to access a piece of private property they call Turtle Hill. Dozens of people crossed the bridge and gathered at the bottom of the hill, but did not directly engage police. The fight against the pipeline drew celebrity support on Thursday. Actresses Jane Fonda and Shailene Woodley served dinners to people at one of the camps. Musicians, including Jackson Browne, Bonnie Raitt, and Jason Mraz, are planning a benefit concert in Fort Yates on Sunday. The North Dakota Department of Emergency Services is seeking more funds to respond to the protests at the pipeline construction site. The Bismarck Tribune reports the department wants a credit line for an additional $7 million. That would bring the total amount from the state related to the Dakota Access protests to $17 million. One Emergency Commission member tells the paper he expects the federal government will be more forthcoming with funds after Donald Trump takes office in January. The Indian Health Service is the latest federal agency to push back against disenrollment actions by the Nooksack tribe in Washington state. In a letter, the director of the Portland area IHS, Dean Saylor, expressed concern the tribe was denying health services to the more than 300 people the tribal council is attempting to purge from enrollment. The letter echoes a previous warning from the Bureau of Indian Affairs that any actions the council takes are invalid because the body lacks the required quorum of members. The council issued a statement this week saying the tribe completed the removal of 289 people they say were erroneously enrolled. The head of a Native American-focused environmental initiative based in Minnesota is gearing up for a fight with the incoming Trump administration. Honor the Earth Executive Director Winona LaDuc has strong words about the president-elect's views on energy development. Ramona Morozis reports.
LaDuc can claim a victory after the company behind the controversial Sandpiper Pipeline through northern Minnesota, Enbridge Energy Partners, ended that project in September. But there is no time for her to rest on her laurels.
None of us expected that Donald Trump would be elected. He's not someone that most people in Indian country would prefer to have in that office. And, you know, we're going to face a lot of challenges as a result of it. He's been really anti-Indian all along.
While many tribal leaders are taking a wait-and-see approach with the incoming president, LaDuc is preparing for a whole new level of conflict over environmental issues. Most pressing is Enbridge's plan to replace an aging oil pipeline in Minnesota with a higher-capacity pipeline.
What will be happening is Line 3. That's a 760,000 barrel per day tar sands pipeline coming from Canada.
In addition, LaDuc expresses exasperation that the new leaders of the country take a dim view of climate change research.
I feel that idiots have been elected into the presidency, and idiots are appointing more idiots who believe that climate change does not exist. That's my opinion.
LaDuc says environmental proponents will need to work harder and lean on each other more to insulate themselves from the federal political situation. Paul Eberth, however, says concerns about energy development related to the election are premature. Eberth is the project director for Enbridge. He says market forces play a bigger role in how projects develop.
You know, the energy industry in general, I think, will change over time. How much of an impact the election has on it is really hard to say.
Eberth says the market drives fossil fuel development the same way it drives production of renewable energy infrastructure, which they are also investing in. For National Native News, I'm Ramona Morosis with Kate Harrison in Duluth.
The Mattawakan and Sioux Indians of Minnesota are suing the U.S. Department of Interior. They want federal recognition and the return of some 12 square miles of land the department set aside in 1865. The group is separate from the Shakopee, Mattawakan and Sioux community. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Is all lost in the supermarket, but people are getting lost in the public market because there's so much stuff going on, right? Peter Metcalf is here.
It's really fun over there.
Yeah, so I mean, as I was saying in the intro to the show, it's a little bit of a madhouse down here. A lot of people coming in and out. But as you're saying, the parking's actually maybe a little bit better this year because the Slam project was
really taking up a lot of parking last year, and that's been greatly relieved. And then the state employees are on furlough, so there's a lot of parking, and that's not a problem. And, you know, but we've had really a large number of people come through, but I'll tell you, people are happy.
Yeah.
And that's
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To see a large crowd of people and nobody really stressed out. Well, I was stressed out.
Yeah,
first.
You're the most stressed out of the bunch. So before we talk about, we'll talk a little bit about the different vendors, the new vendors, and some of the traditional ones that are always there. And but tell me, let's talk a little bit about the planning of the public market. When does it start happening for you, and how does it all start kind of coming together?
Well, we have an active list of about 700 vendors and throughout Alaska who've expressed an interest in the public market or participated. So we send out emails at late June and accept applications in July, and then we assign booths in the first week of August. And so that doesn't take up a lot of time.
You're getting a call right now. I know, right?
Sir, I'm turning off my phone.
Maybe you tell them just to listen to the radio and you'll answer any question they may have.
Definitely get there's a point at which I get question overload.
But sure.
Fortunately, that peaked a little while ago. But it's a continuous process through the fall.
And are some of the considerations you have to make about which vendors end up coming to the market and getting a booth?
Well, we have vendors who are in good standing who sure. participated over the years. We know we can count on them. If they want the booth they were in last year, they get it, and that kind of solves that problem. And then everybody else is kind of like a musical chair procedure, and you get what comes available. And then we have a lot of withdrawals because we give an immediate refund. You know, somebody withdrawing it before October 31, it's not a problem. It solves the solution. It's a solution because somebody else wants to get in. And then we're able to move people around. And by the time we open, almost every vendor is really happy where they're at or that they got in. And or there's a situation that arose with one of my favorite new vendors, which was these three young ladies who were interviewed by Jeff on Juno Afternoon on Wednesday. They're 12-year-olds who have been doing their own jewelry, and we had them assigned a space, and they're standing there, obviously not, you know, thinking this isn't going to work. And they got my attention, and I said, "Come with me." And there was a vendor who had pulled out at the last minute, and there was a space that worked perfectly for them. So
all right.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, just sort of kismet. It happens.
Yeah, it does. In the end, you know, it's kind of one of the, you know, strange things. You know, it's a mystery, but somehow it all comes together.
So let's talk about some of your new, as you were mentioning, that group of young women, 12-year-old kids, really, who are really quite skilled and kind of amazing jewelry makers,
yeah,
which is an amazing
they're
thing.
They're in the Egan room.
Yeah.
Check them out.
So that was so the Hickel and the Egan rooms. Those rooms are sort of open as well, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 We have essentially every available space. You know, we try to keep some open space so that people can move around, but we've maximized that facility. And with you know, new vendors, we have something like close to 50 new vendors. Every year we get 30% turnover, which is a good thing because it keeps it nice and fresh. Some people, they're not set up to do it every year, and so they rotate through once, you know, every other year or so. But others, maybe they test a product that doesn't do good. Others age out,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, sure.
And so doing this for 34 years,
yeah.
you know, I figured out we've had about very close to 2,000 vendors come through the public market over the years, and so it's a it's an interesting experience
wow.
to watch that.
How many total vendors are there?
Well, there's probably 170.
Okay.
You know, I'm not very definitive about it because we have about 150 spaces. Some are double spaces, but then we have several booths I can think of that have 3 and 4 vendors in a single booth. So.
Yeah, and just in case you haven't been to the public market in a few years, it's also happening at the Jack.
That's
so
right.
It has spread into the Jack as well.
Right.
And all the rooms in this.
That was really a good thing when the Armory got renovated and the Juno Arts and Culture Center took it over. And Nancy runs a great shop there. I mean, let me tell you, I walk in there and it's like everything is taken care of.
It's cool.
A great venue.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can accommodate we have about 40 vendors there. And that's doing real well. I mean, in terms of people showing up, coming over from the Centennial Hall, it's a crowd there right now.
So, what are some of the favorite new ones that you guys?
Well, a couple of new ones that of interest to me are woodworkers, custom woodworkers. They have shops here in Juneau, but I haven't met them before. Dean Graber and then Reed Harris, two separate. Custom woodworkers. And
I've seen Reed's work. I don't,
it's
amazing.
Incredible.
Icy Bay Lumber there, yeah.
Right. And then Dean Graber, he does more like black walnut and, you know, wormy chestnut, you know, mm-hmm. which is boards that come off old barns and repurposes them. Reed Harris is more into very local timber, and the cool thing there is he'll brand the underside of his coffee tables and tabletops with the exact location where the wood was harvested, so you can enter the lat long on Google Earth and throw it.
That's cool. See where the tree was.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really cool.
He does a lot of yellow cedar, which is
beautiful wood, yeah.
Beautiful wood and it lasts forever. And it's definitely recycled wood because a lot of the best wood he gets is from standing dead cedar, which can stand dead for 100 years and still be good wood. So it's those guys I really like. And then we have some returning vendors who are favorites of mine, a couple from up north, Talkeetna and Dillingham. One of them are doing furs, you know, fur hats, slippers, and so on. And they're really a nice couple, Annie and Todd Fritza. They come down to visit their grandchildren. And I wondered how they were coming down from Dillingham. And was it really worth it? Well, of course
okay,
it is
yeah.
when you have grandchildren
right.
here. And then there's a gal who has a business called Stuck on You, which is porcupine quill jewelry. Fortunately, you wear it rather than have
right.
it protrude from your nose. But it's beautiful jewelry, and she's from Talkeetna. So
awesome, yeah. And those guys are returning ones.
Yeah, yeah. They've been the one stuck in you has been maybe 3 years, and Todd and Annie from Dillingham. I think this is their fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not going to be able to pull it out of my head, all these the new ones, because
yeah,
I haven't met them.
Well, I was
going
to ask about the thing about the public market that also is amazing is you can really just spend the whole day there and be comfortable because you have this great food court as well, right?
That's right.
So who's
yeah,
in
so
that?
If you're not the prime chopper in the family,
right.
you have a place to sit. And people ask me what's the favorite thing about the public market for me after all these years, and that's socializing with all the friends and you know that I haven't seen all year. You see them at the public market.
Yeah, definitely. So who's serving food up in the food court?
We have Song Sushi Bar. They're serving Asian dishes, it's not just sushi, but they do have sushi. Then we have the I'm not going to remember then. And this is a new vendor who's serving bowls. You know, like a burrito bowl.
Oh, okay.
And I got a lot of compliments on that. It's really good, healthy food, but tasty.
Yeah,
know?
Cool.
And
is it part of the little green trailer here?
Right.
That's right, parked
exactly.
by the Jack. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
It's I think for
the camper, visit. Happy camper.
Happy camper.
That's it. Happy camper.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then the Gonzo waffles.
Those are great.
I just tasted one of those. They're really quite good.
Yeah.
And Mark Wheeler from Copa is there, and we have Heritage Coffee serving espresso drinks. The essential booth for
yes.
our public market crew.
It's really essential. It's at the longest line.
And one of the things the vendors have told me more times than many, many times is how much they appreciate. We have some of our young workers go around to each of the vendors and see if they want coffee or if there's anything we can do for them, and they don't get that treatment elsewhere. So.
Talk to me about the crew. Now this is such a cool thing, and years ago it was all your young nephews and nieces.
Right now they're
all 30 years old.
Right. Well, you know, Luke Metcalf, he's my nephew, and he's running Taqueria. And he's also, is he still on your board, the K2 board?
He's still on the K2 board, as far as I know, yeah.
So he's, you know, since he was seven, he's been working for me. He's always a good worker, and now he's my right-hand man. He takes care of setting up the booths and hiring the setup and breakdown crew. And my niece Lynn is, you know, an essential person, and my cousin Susie does the cash. And we've just watched these kids grow up, and it's not just our family, nieces and nephews, but also our friends' children. And did we ever get one of yours?
I think Lydia might have done
one or two years.
Yeah.
So we watch these kids grow up, and it's really been fun. But a couple of years ago, we had employed, you know, our nieces and nephews and my stepsons and so on over the years, and from the time when they could clean a tabletop, and turned out we were not within the law, and we got stranded out on that, and now we have to hire only 14-year-olds, which, you know, we pay these kids good money. Most of them will never make that much until they become an adult, but it was really fun to see, you know, kids grow up over the years.
So you had to close down the sweatshop, is what you're saying,
right.
Yeah.
I think that was the perception, but we have these kids clamoring to work for us every year.
It was a time of their lives.
So now we can only do hire 14-year-olds and up.
Oh,
but,
well.
But it, you know, from an operational standpoint, it's probably better for us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to deal with little meltdowns.
Right. That's the thing.
But it's been really fun over the years to watch these kids, and they really get a, you know, what's really fun to see is where they make the connection between work and getting a check. And, man, that sets in
that
right
bing.
Away.
Yeah, that really, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a cool event that happens every year. And, Peter, thank you. As just someone who lives in Juneau, thanks for doing this for so many years.
It's been rewarding in many ways.
Yeah.
But it's a fun thing to do. And, you know, like I say, one of the funnest things about it is just seeing all your friends and seeing so many people being happy and rather than, you know,
yeah.
put out.
Yeah, the holiday season can be a stressful season, and it just seems like the public market is one of those places. It's not a stress-out shopping environment. It's just like, I mean, when I go there, I have a hard time shopping because you end up talking
That's
to
right.
so many people,
yeah.
right? And you're right. Like, well, I walked around for 3 hours and I didn't see much, but I just talked
to people. We have a weekend ticket, you know, we encourage people because, you know, it's a one price fits all. $7 gets you in for 3 days, and you keep coming back.
Because, yeah.
You know, the first time through, you can kind of check it out, but come back on Saturday or Sunday. And, you know, the crowd's lessen today about 4. Tomorrow and Sunday, 10 to 11 is pretty mellow, and then after 3 o'clock, very mellow. So there's crowded times.
There you go, yeah.
Easy
good,
times.
Good tips. All right, Peter, thanks so much, and thanks for putting it on. It's the public market. It's happening through Sunday?
Through Sunday. Sunday and, 5 will be the last hour.
All right, so you've got the whole weekend ahead of you, and $7 for the weekend pass.
That's
to
right.
Be able to get in all weekend. Peter Metcalf, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Andy.
Appreciate it.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
Leonard Cohen, and we're now here with a young musician, Kyle Farley Robinson. Kyle, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, lean a little bit closer into that microphone for me.
Okay.
And yeah, no problem. So tell me about, you're going to be playing this piano recital coming up. When's it happening?
Well, it's happening on November 27th.
Okay.
So this Sunday.
Okay. It's 3 p.m. It's happening at the Northern Lights Church. And tell me a little bit about what you're going to be playing at this. People go and they hear a piano recital. Is it? It's a number of different works that you're doing, or?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing works by Beethoven, Brahms.
Who's that? No, I know that. So okay, keep going. Sorry, okay. Beethoven, Brahms,
Chopin, Rachmaninoff, and Ravel.
Of that, which is the one that you like playing the most?
That's a hard one. I really do like the Beethoven.
Okay.
It's probably one I've played in concert the most, so.
And then what's the most challenging? I'm going to guess Rachmaninoff. I always hear that that's so challenging, but am I wrong?
You know, it's challenging, but I think probably the most challenging would be the Chopin this time.
And what makes it challenging in that way?
Well, it's very, it's technically hard. So you've got lots of big octaves and big jumps. And then the middle part, it's a very fast run, while the left hand's also doing octave jumps. So
just like mechanically, it's sort of hard.
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of motion and a lot of things to hit, a lot of places to get wrong, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing, right? I can imagine.
Plus, it's quite long, too.
So when you're doing the works, is there a – what's the process where it goes from, okay, I've learned it, to then now I'm really putting – myself into it and really expressing it. Are there moments when you feel like that's happening?
Yeah, it's just you practice these songs maybe quite a few times every day, and there's parts you have to practice more than others. And once you get it to the point where you can play it, you have to start memorizing it. And that can actually be pretty hard because music pieces are complicated, right? You have two hands. One's playing something different than the other. And so in the process of memorizing it, you sort of have to analyze your music And in doing that, you also you learn more about it, and you learn more how to express yourself through it.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I mean, the only thing I can think about is like memorizing a poem or memorizing something like that. But in a way, when you speak and you're memorizing, you're not thinking about how to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're emoting, but you're not. But you're right that when you're actually playing piano, you're having to think about where your hands are going. But there must also be a transformation where you're almost not doing that, right? It's almost like it just happens.
Yeah. Well, when you're performing a piece, you want to think about where you're going, and you just want to think about how am I going to, or you're just sort of thinking about the emotion you're putting into it. And yeah, if you're trying to think about what your hands are doing, you're going to make mistakes.
You probably get lost
pretty
quick. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to think about. I'm not a musician, and so that's the sort of magic piece of being a musician that, and maybe I would just ask you this. I mean, that's sort of that magic piece of being a musician that to me is like magic in a weird way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Kyle does have a special gift. Ever since he was just little and he started piano lessons, he always played with expression and feeling even before the piece was fully mastered. It's just the way he is.
Yeah, yeah. Which is an interesting thing. That's why someone goes to a live recital, right? I mean, we have these pieces, and we have these pieces recorded, played by the greatest pianists in the history of mankind, right?
You know? Yeah.
But people go and listen to people recite these same pieces because they want to see what that person brings to it. So what do you feel like are your strengths that you bring to these different pieces? Like when you approach the Brahms piece, how is that different from how you approach the Beethoven piece as examples?
Well, the two Brahms intermezzi I'm playing, they're a lot more flowing than the Beethoven, right? It's a different style of music. Brahms came quite a bit after Beethoven. And so his music, it's almost less dramatic. And the melody, it flows better. But then the Beethoven, it's all about dramatic and contrast. So
you're just trying to accentuate those different things. You're trying to have a more free-flowing, flowing element to the Brahms, and you're trying to accentuate these contrasts in the Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
really interesting. That's cool. How long have you been playing, just kind of your whole life? I mean, as long as...
It's been about 9 years.
Yeah, yeah. So right. So started as just a tyke. Had to get help up onto the bench, right? Or did you have the little Schroeder mini piano? No, that's just a jump. You probably didn't.
I started out on a keyboard.
You did? Yeah. Right. Sure. That makes sense.
But
yeah.
There was a time where there was a footstool under his little feet to keep them from wiggling. But that's long gone.
That's long gone. Yeah. You've taken the leap since then. So tell me about the. It's going to be happening this just coming up this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done these kinds of things before? Is this something that's, you're kind of the sole performer for this, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's kind of a big deal, right?
Well, I performed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Last December I had a performance. I probably played maybe about half of the music that I'm going to be playing this time. This is my first solo large performance, so it's a bit different.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you played in that space before?
Yes.
And so is it? How would you rate the space, or rate? It's got good acoustics and.
Yeah, it's a very nice space, very nice piano. Yeah, I enjoy playing there.
Yeah, cool. And so piano to piano. How does that vary? Must, right?
Oh yeah, there's huge differences. The action of the piano, how much pressure it takes to push a key. The dynamic range of a piano, even just the sound. Like, you have pianos that are very warm, like the one I'll be playing on Sunday, but then you have some pianos that are a bit more harsh, and you have to play around that. You know, you have to bring out what you like about the piano and try to put that into your music.
Oh, wow, cool. Let me ask you this as just a kind of fun question. You ever, see a piano out in public and just sort of surprise people by the fact that you can completely knock their socks off playing some Beethoven?
Not much.
You should do that, man. I would do that. That seems like so much fun, right? You walk by a piano in a hotel lobby, and you're just like, sit down and rip off some, People would gather around. It'd be great. Like flash mob.
Little flash
mob. Right? Yeah, it'd be really good. All right. Well, thanks, Kyle, for coming in and for tolerating my dumb question. That last question, that was a throwaway.
You're
cool with that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's Kyle Farley Robinson, and you're playing this solo piano recital. One more time, go through the pieces that you're going to be playing.
Yeah, I'll be playing pieces by Beethoven, Chopin, Brahms, Rachmaninoff, and Ravel.
It's all happening at 3 p.m. at Northern Light United Church. Probably lasts for 40 minutes, an hour, something like that.
About an hour, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Oh, and if I may just say, this is the piano series that's been supported and conceived by Mary Watson. And there are no tickets, but donations are appreciated towards the purchase of a new used piano for the Performing Arts Center. So it's a really good cause.
Oh, very cool. All right. So that's all going towards perpetuating more great music in Juneau.
Yep.
So that'd be great.
Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for coming in. Kyle, thanks for coming up and coming in and break a leg? Do you say that to a pianist? I don't know.
We don't want him to break anything.
No. Don't. Okay. Don't break anything. Just play well. I'm sure you will. All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 25th of November, 2016. It's the birthday of Andrew Carnegie, born in Dunfermline, Scotland, 1835. Grew up poor, worked as a mill hand, came to this country when he was 13, went into the steel business, helped to build the American steel industry, and became one of the richest entrepreneurs of his time. Andrew Carnegie was afraid that the pursuit of wealth would degrade him. So he sold his steel business and gave his fortune away. He endowed 2,811 libraries. He established the Carnegie Endowment, and he bought more than 7,000 organs for churches to, in his words, lessen the pain of the sermons. It's the birthday of Helen Hooven Santmeyer, Cincinnati, 1895. Grew up in a little town of Xenia, Ohio. Went off to New York. She was a secretary for Scribner's Magazine, then moved back to Xenia. She wrote an epic novel about a small-town women's group based on her own women's club of Xenia, Ohio. The book was called And Ladies of the Club. It came out when she was 87 years old, Helen Hooven Santmeyer. It was more than 1,300 pages long, and it went straight to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And it's the birthday of the physician and essayist Lewis Thomas, born Flushing, New York, 1913. Went to Princeton to study biology and also poetry. He loved the poetry of Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot. Had a big career, became president of the Sloan Kettering Institute, and also started writing informal essays. He wrote them late at night, without an outline, wrote quickly, including no reference notes at the end, writing about the human body, but also philosophy. In 1974, 29 of the essays were collected in The Lives of a Cell, which won the National Book Award. Lewis Thomas, the physician who said, "The great secret of doctors, known only to their wives, but still hidden from the public, is that most things get better by themselves. Most things, in fact, are better in the morning." Here's a poem for today by Jill Bielaski entitled The Guardians. All day we packed boxes, we read birth and death certificates, the yellowed telegrams that announced our births, the cards of congratulations and condolences, the deeds and debts, love letters, valentines with a heart ripped out, the obituaries. We opened the divorce decree, a terrible document of division and subtraction. We leafed through scrapbooks, corsages, matchbooks, programs to the ballet, racetrack, theater, joy and frivolity parceled in one volume, painstakingly arranged, preserved and pasted with crusted glue. We sat in the room in which the beloved had departed. We remembered her yellow hair and her mind free of paradox. We sat together, side by side, on the empty floor, and did not speak. There were no words between us other than the essence of the words from the correspondences, our inheritance, plain speak, bereft of poetry. The Guardians, a poem by Jill Bielaski, from her collection The Players, published by Alfred A. Knopf, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by WordPress.com, where millions go to share their passions on personal and professional blogs. Now offering custom .blog domain names, WordPress.com. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon, and in with me now, a guest is Kevin Dugan from the Coast Guard Officers Association. Kevin, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Now, you've got a really cool thing you said has been going on for maybe 10, maybe 20 years, but it's the Coat and Blanket Drive that the Coast Guard and a couple of other organizations in town kind of helped put together.
That's correct. Last week, we put the bins out at seven of the local shops here, and they're dressed up with festive paper. If you clean out your garages or your closets, getting coat and blankets down, what happens is we gather them up. We work with a couple of agencies in town, Alaska Dry Cleaning and Laundry, launders them for us, and then we get them over to the Cut of Liberty, who works in their schedule to get it to some small towns and villages.
That's pretty cool. So the cutter actually pulls up into little towns and has coats and blankets and stuff like
that's
that for
correct.
Folks.
As
yeah.
the schedule permits, they get to go out and do beautiful stuff like that.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's such a cool thing. I mean, everyone in Southeast, has great feelings about the Coast Guard. At some point, some friend or someone themselves has been helped out by the Coast Guard on the water or in some capacity. But it's cool to think about it this other way you guys are, working to help the communities.
Yeah, it's a good outreach, and it helps us feel good. It's one of the reasons I joined the Juno Office Association was to make sure we keep doing this because it is a noble thing.
So the other organizations that are helping, I've got this list here, this IGA Foodland, and then the federal building itself.
Yes, there's a bin in the bottom of the federal building.
Okay, that's where there's one that the Juno Family Health and Birth Center out in Salmon Creek there. Fred Meyer, Super Bear Supermarket, Nugget Mall, and then there's also a bin at Safeway. And so all those places have worked with you guys to kind of coordinate this.
And what the good thing is Taku's Smokery's Fish House there, they give us the totes. We put them out, we wrap them up. Alaska Laundry and Dry Cleaning graciously cleans them for us. And then Les Schwab's gives us these tire bags that we put them in so we can load them up. So it's a multi-agency, effort. So it's really good.
Yeah, everyone kind of pulling together to kind of make this happen. So tell me about what happens when the Liberty pulls into...
They arrange
to Angoon or someplace like
that?
Yeah,
exactly. The Elfin Cove or Gus Davis, Hoonah, Tenneke Springs. They'll call them up prior to and say, hey, do you have a need? They'll say yes or no. And we'll try to, bundle up the blankets or coats of what they ask for. Sometimes they put on a Santa outfit and, maybe a basketball game or something happens. The cutter will pull in and deliver these things right prior to Christmas. So it's a beautiful outreach.
Cutter crew's always looking for a good basketball game. There's always a good one happening in villages, man.
Yeah,
it's great.
And it's not like the deck stacked, because we're really not that good.
Yeah, that's right. It's good. It's an easy, it's like a homecoming for every town. So tell me, it's happening, it's already happening and going.
Yep. It goes to December 1st. We put them out November 18th, and then we'll probably December 13th or somewhere around there. We'll get them back, and we'll push them out to the villages.
Any guidelines about what sort of condition the thing should be in?
Lightly used, hopefully, but we take almost anything. It gets laundered, and you know, we recycle and push it back out.
And even new stuff, if you wanted to buy something.
You'd be surprised at what shows up in these bins. I've seen brand new sleeping bags still in the bag or blankets and stuff. This time of year, people are shopping for people, and it's a good time maybe to clean out the closet or the garage and make some spare room for some new stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're going to go to a public market and buy some new stuff, so might as well, move it on through. Okay, well, it's the Coat and Blanket Drive. It's put on by the Coast Guard Officers Association. Again, the places where you can find these bins are IGA Foodland downtown here and over at the Federal Building, also at the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center in Salmon Creek. Fred Meyer and Super Bear and Nugget Mall in the Valley, and also Safeway in the Valley. So we got kind of the whole town covered
Hopefully we got it covered, yes.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Kevin Dugan from the Coast Guard Officers Association, thanks so much for coming in. Letting us know. Thank you very much for having me. Anything else you want to cover while we're talking about this?
No, I just want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Yeah, thanks, and same to you. All right, coming up next, we're going to listen to Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. As the seasons change, different birds catch our eye. Where spring brought the swoop of swallows, late fall or early winter poses the puzzle of identifying gulls. The challenge of learning which gull is which brings to mind the Sunday crossword puzzle. Completing it entails more clues, more cleverness, and more time than needed for the weekday version, but feels so rewarding. For identifying gulls, we recommend a good bird book, binoculars, and perhaps a thermos of hot coffee. And you may want to bring along a chair. This time of year, gulls wear fresh plumage, making autumn the ideal time to learn to identify them. Start by looking only at adult gulls, the ones showing fully gray or black backs and white underparts. To figure out a gull's ID, first, gauge whether it's bigger or smaller than gulls near it. Then check its leg color, pink or yellow. You're more than halfway home already. To clinch the ID, focus on the wingtips, bill shape, and whether it's light or dark gray. Gulls are present in greater variety in mid-autumn, posing an ample puzzle for inquisitive minds. But as Yogi Berra once said, you can observe a lot just by watching. Visit your local lake or shore and see how many gulls you can identify. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night beside her, and you know that she's half crazy, but that's why you want to be
a little more Leonard Cohen there. And coming up next, we've got Arts Up. Is that what we're doing? Are
that's
we doing
right.
Arts Up?
It's sort of like that. Yeah.
Okay. Or is this is an additional?
Well, I didn't do it on Thursday because I was busy eating.
I see. Oh, well, that's true. Yes. Yeah, so it is Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. Mm-hmm. Nancy, thanks so much. It's great to have you in on a Friday.
It's nice to see you. I haven't done this with you in a long, long time. So yes, as usual, the town is hopping. Public Market, of course, is really hopping. It's this year, and you've talked to Peter already, at Centennial Hall, the Jack, and also over at Elizabeth Pradovich. There's the Native Artists have the thing, and that's open to the public.
So talk a little bit about that, because Peter didn't have all the details on that.
I don't have all the details either, but it's free, and it's open the same this whole weekend. So good, I mean, just like, come on down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a great opportunity to go and tour through and see all the great Native artwork. Yeah.
It's being sponsored, by Central Council.
Very cool.
So, then this evening at 6 p.m. out at the university, Race and Race Plus Theater equals Transformational Dialogue. This is something that Julie Copens is doing. It's part of the one book thing that the campus is reading, a book called Mixed, and so they're sort of acting out the book.
Okay,
cool. And that's free. 6:30, speed out to Douglas for the tree lighting and over there. At 7:30, there's a barn dance at St. Anne's, and I don't remember who's playing, but it's their holiday barn dance, so that'll be fun. We have a lot. Oh, and then at 7:45, Santa and the Elf skate over at Treadwell.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
We just have so many things, and there's so many theater things. Like tonight and tomorrow, we have King Island Christmas being performed there at Faith Lutheran out in the valley. And we have tickets available for that at the Jack or at Hearthside Books, or I'm sure you can get them at the door. But they were selling pretty briskly, so, you know, but it's a church, so you can squeeze in.
they're nice that way.
Yeah, it's like, it's good. And then coming right up, the King Island Christmas will be performed at the Jack starting December 1st through the 4th, so you have plenty of opportunities there. Nutcracker is December 2nd through the 4th. And they have their little...
Who's performing that?
That's the Juno Dance Theater, and they have their tea party Saturday afternoon. So you want to go to the tea party and then to the dance.
How civilized.
They sound civilized. It's delightful.
Yes.
I love these sorts
Think
of things.
Think these out.
Yes. And then there is the Box Society on the 3rd and the 4th. So next weekend is going to really cramp some style.
But now this weekend, also the other thing I wanted, so Perseverance Theater, right?
Has Hold Your Truth.
Hold Your Truth, right.
Hold These Truths.
Now tonight is Beer Friday for that.
Oh my God.
It is.
You would know this.
Yes, I would know that. In fact, I have to go help do that. So Beer Friday is the second Friday of every run of the play. On the second Friday is always Beer Friday. And
you
so
get those season tickets.
Yes. So I'm talking about. So the brewery works together with Perseverance, and we set up over at Louis.
Oh.
And you go over to Louis first. You go early, and you get we get free beer samples. We sample a bunch of our different exclusive beers often.
Delightful.
And you get to hang out there for about an hour or so, and then you head over to the play. And then some plays that have long, intermissions will even stay for intermission. You come through intermission.
I think this one
does not have intermission.
Right. And so you have tonight, which comes with beer.
Yes.
And that's a selling point
there. Yeah. Free beer sign.
Saturday, Sunday, and then you've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's it. So it's a short run.
It's a short run, yeah.
Yeah, so don't want to miss that sort of thing. Let's see. And what else? It seems like there was something else besides Hold These Truths. But on Saturday, we have a pop-up record shop.
I know this. This is also brewery related.
It's at 4 p.m. and it's at the is it at the Depot?
Downtown Depot, right.
Yes.
So the Downtown Brewery Depot, and Annie Bartholomew and KXLL are doing that as part of the Use Media kind of whole thing that's happening, which I guess we'll just reveal. We were told we better darn well mention the Use Media sale.
So we're doing it.
Done
it.
Nancy and I are now mentioning the Use Media sale happening here at KTOO.
I have to say that quite a few of the old vinyls out of our garage are going over there.
Right.
So there you have it.
Oh, man. A lot of Cheech and Chong.
Yes. I don't know. I didn't even look. Just put them in a box.
It's John stuff. Don't worry.
It's John stuff. It's 7 p.m., the drive-in theater that happens out at the Urgent Care. That starts on Saturday. And
I know nothing about this. What happens?
I don't know exactly. You tune in to some FM radio station thing, and they broadcast or project on the wall out there. It's something that happens every Christmas,
really?
And I'm never out there at the time. So 7
p.m. different from that light show they do?
I think so.
Because
they also do that
crazy light show that coordinates with some low-power radio frequency
be it. So we need to investigate this. It's at 7 p.m. tomorrow.
I know. It's always strange to me that it's associated with urgent care. I don't know. It's just a big building. It's a big building with a good kind of, you know.
And they sponsor it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So it's great.
Yeah.
Adding a little bit of art and fun and
brightness
light
and
magic.
Time to go out and look at the lights. Yeah. And then on Sunday, Kyle Farley Robinson is doing a fundraising concert.
Here.
Oh,
he
excellent.
Was just here.
We just spoke with him.
Such an impressive young guy, and and so cool to think about this young guy is going to do basically an hour's worth of
beautiful music. And it's a fundraising effort so that when we open the new Jack, as it's now called, it will have a 9-foot grand piano. For
Tell
the
me
new,
about the new Jack.
The new Jack.
New Jack City? This is going to be New Jack City?
We're building a building, you know. You remember that play.
Yes.
So it's part of the fundraising efforts for that. The people, the pianists in town want to make sure there's a really fine instrument available in that, and so they're offering these concerts.
Nice.
Yeah. So come on out Sunday afternoon. Be nice to take a little breather and all that sort of stuff. I want to also mention that wearable art tickets are going on sale December 1st.
All right.
To members only of the Juno Arts and Humanities.
Are you having
Council.
An event?
We already had one event.
Oh, okay.
But this is we'll be there in the morning and 10 o'clock. Tickets will go on sale. You'll have to come to the Jack to get them, because we can make sure you're a member. And
To check your papers.
Yes, I'm going to see your visa. I cannot tell you. Let's see. And then we're getting ready to have a thing called Naughty and Nice, Naughty or Nice. It's going to be sort of an adult carnival, and beer will be involved there.
Yes,
there will be
will.
Beer. So, yeah, I mean, the holiday season.
Holidays.
My goodness gracious.
It'd be really exhausting if it wasn't so much fun.
Right,
but it is fun.
It's fun, and you get to see your friends. You know, public market is just the start of it all. I've seen so many people that I haven't seen in such a long time, and it's not even over yet.
No, it's just begun. I mean, that's telling it to Peter. Like when I go to the public market, I can barely shop,
yeah,
right?
You
because
visit.
You're just talking the whole time.
Yes, a visit. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, we try to have coffee and a place for people to sit down and stuff like that. So hope to see everybody out at some things. And we're doing a little public market ticket special. If you come over and buy three of any of the tickets that we have going on, you get a little 20% discount. Tickets are a nice thing to give people who have too many things. You can go to an event with them or
That's
something.
That's a great idea.
Give them some...
A couple of tickets to Perseverance or
yeah.
a couple of tickets
yeah.
to one of the great events that the Arts and Humanities Council is putting on.
Yeah, we've got them all the way out through till June, I think. There's different events that you can buy tickets
Well,
for.
We've got a little bit of time, so tell me about the season that's coming up here what's next and what people should think about and start maybe mm-hmm. even just go online right now and buy a couple of tickets for people.
Yes, think about that. We have our next event after the Naughty and Nice Party is the Holiday Pops, and that will be the 17th and 18th Holiday Pops at Egan Library on the Saturday, and Sunday it will be at the Jack. So that's part of the season that you could get the ticket special for. You do need to come to the Jack to do that, though.
Okay.
I didn't set it up online. You save money by coming to the Jack anyway.
And speaking of wearable arts, is the call for artists still going on?
Yes.
Okay, so how does that work for people who haven't done it and might be interested in being involved in wearable arts?
It's an online application, and we kind of need to know dimensions of your piece and sort of a general concept of what you've got going. You don't have to have it complete. Sort of a sketch is fine, and also a couple of ideas about music that you might want to be using. And so just go online and register. Every act gets one ticket to a Saturday show and one ticket to the Sunday show. It doesn't matter if you've got 16 people in your act, you only get one ticket.
You get one ticket. Folks, come on.
Plus, we don't want 16 people.
Right.
That's a lot in the act. But this year, the director is Margot Youngberg, and she, if you saw the vibrator play, was one of the ladies in the vibrator play.
Okay,
she's
cool.
A fun and exciting person. And Akiko from Perseverance is doing the set design. So it's going to be beautiful.
Cool. And then what is the theme?
It is Renaissance.
Ah, oh, so many possibilities.
So many possibilities, yes.
Wow.
So rebirth all over the place.
Yes, rebirth or just Ren Faire participants, a lot of LARPing going on. I can see it totally.
Oh, dear,
oh, dear, there's LARPing. What are they doing? I think they're LARPing.
What is that?
I'm just looking at your website. I also see that there's a juried art show that there's a call for art going on for that.
Yes, there is. And it is an online application, but for people who don't feel comfortable doing it online, we're happy to take applications in the office. Just bring your piece of art in. We are having Yvonne Zerbitz from Ketchikan is going to be the juror, but I think the applications are due December 7th, which is kind of short notice. But I'm one of those people that if you give me 2 weeks, I'll take 2 weeks. If you give me 3 weeks, I'll take 3 weeks.
So, give me 2 days. I might be able to get it done. Yeah. So
if you go onto the website, you can read this information. It was also in the Juneau Empire and a few other places. But it's an opportunity for, in a way, if you don't quite, if you've never done an exhibit before, but you'd like to get involved, you only need to have one or two pieces to bring forward at this time. So it's a nice entry opportunity for people. What else have we got going on?
Since you're
reading my website.
I'm reading your website, which I was just going to mention looks so new.
It is so new.
Yeah.
Meredith Bless was completely revamped the whole thing. You know, it's so new that it's possible you could run into a link that doesn't work. And we would like you to let us know about that so we can fix it. Because, you know, websites are pretty complicated.
Yeah. There are those things that happen, you know.
Little things.
So other thing that I was going to just mention is music on the fly something that's kind of an ongoing concern still?
It's still out there, and that is sponsored by the brewery. In this wintertime, we used to have it regularly on a certain day, but the airport people suggested some certain dates. And so around the holidays, for example, we've encouraged people to just go out and busk. So you may hear music. I think that Jackie Farnsworth is performing this Sunday on the 27th.
Oh,
cool. She does a cabaret sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there'll be some others around the holidays, just so as people are coming to town and such.
It's nice to hear a little bit of music.
Yes.
It's really fun.
Yeah,
it's such a treat. You get off the plane. And there's times when you happen to hit it correctly, you get off the plane like, there's music here.
It makes it, and you can tell when it's live music as opposed to music sort of stuff. So yeah, that's one of the things that, and if people are interested in participating in that, the sign up for that is also online. I think we have most of the winter filled, but the summer schedule is up too. So in the summer, we do it every Sunday.
And then I want to ask also about the Lumberjack at the Jack, get it?
Yes, that's the
beard
naughty
and mustache competition. I love it.
Yes, you got to get working on that there, Andy.
I can grow a champion one, but I get told at home to stop growing that thing.
Yes, it is part of the Naughty and Nice, Naughty or Nice event, and there will be a lumberjack, a beard contest, and I think Aaron Suring and Gigi Monroe and Sam Keto will be the judges.
Well, I can speak for Aaron and Gigi as experts
on these things.
Yes. Sam, I'm sure, he's a good public servant. I'm sure he'll do a good job, but I don't know.
It'll be a really fun evening, and if you're already bearded, you can come. And if you have, we have some beards at the Jack that you can buy.
And we're skipping forward just a little bit, but Swing in the New Year might be something that people might want to consider.
Yeah, that's a jazz and classics event, and they do it every year, and it's they have the big band coming in, and it's a nice way to celebrate the holiday.
Yeah, right.
Because New Year's, you never sometimes know what to do.
Yes. Well,
and I should mention, actually, First Friday is coming up on December 2nd.
That's right.
And there's always a ballroom dance on First Friday, and this is going to be their special ballroom dance. It'll be over at Centennial Hall because we'll have King Island Christmas in our space. But they do a beautiful job, and the really lovely thing about them is that the proceeds are donated to the Jack.
Oh,
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Of the ballroom dance people. So it's your opportunity to get gussied up on.
It's true. You know, here we are. This is, Black Friday, and it's all happening. But then you realize, next Friday is Gallery Walk. Friday. Oh, my gosh. And then you're just in. And the next thing you know, you're spat out, and it's February. Right?
And wearable art.
What happened? Right. Oh, man.
Yeah, oh, man.
This is that season for you. Yeah.
I don't think there's a downtime.
No. That's what's happening.
I've been looking for.
And that's great when you're talking about the arts.
Yes.
Nancy DeTourney from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, thanks for coming over, and
thank
we appreciate it. And that's Arts Up.
All right.
And that's it for this rather wild episode of Friday edition of a Juneau Afternoon. Thanks so much to all my guests, and thanks to everyone out there. Happy holidays as we head into the holiday season. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and didn't overdo it, of course. and enjoy Public Market and all the other great things that are going on out there in Juneau. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on Translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley.